was looking at an excerpt from a Chris Rock stand-up routine where the comedian was saying that his friends who are unhappily married are still in a much better place than his single friends during the pandemic. It's like, yeah, my partner's terrible, but, you know, at least there's someone to come home to. But what is it like if you're single and you're dating, even if that's not in person at all, or if it is very selectively in person? I'd like to hear how it's going. We're at 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722. Are you using dating platforms like OkCupid or, you know, any of the other platforms that are out there, Match.com, etc.? How are you doing it during this era of the pandemic? 866-893-KPECC. Joining me is social psychologist Sarah Conrath, author of a piece in The Atlantic titled What the Pandemic Has Done for Dating. She's scientific advisor for OkCupid and visiting professor at the University of Notre Dame's Institute for Advanced Research. Thank you so much for joining us, Sarah Conrath. We appreciate it very much. How are people using, first of all, dating platforms differently?
Well, there's actually been a major increase in dating platform usage since the pandemic, which makes a lot of sense. And a lot of one of the biggest changes is actually an increase in virtual dating.
And so what does that entail? Is that just, you know, FaceTime or Zoom meeting with someone and people getting to know each other at a distance?
Yes, yeah, some of it is video calls or phone calls. A lot of the apps are now making that part of their features so that you can just do that kind of call without giving away any personal info, like your phone number. But some people go on virtual dates, like they sit down and watch a movie together at the same time. You can use an app for that. Some people go visit a museum together virtually. So there are different things people can do now.
And what's the sense of what percentage of people that are dating are willing, perhaps after a first meeting that goes well virtually, to then meet over a cup of coffee in person?
Well, that's funny. Actually, the people I've talked to, it seems like they're actually more careful than that. People seem to be willing to meet maybe at some point, but I've heard people say even people I know who, you know, were definitely not like this before, say that they actually want to really get to know the person a lot first, because you have to have these difficult conversations about what, like, whether you wear a mask and who have you been spending time with and, you know, things like that. So I think people are more hesitant to just go directly from one phone call to in person. And they're more likely to meet later after they've already decided they really like this person.
Well, I don't know whether there's been any research into this, but deal with the sexual aspect of it, because if you got two people who over the course of their distanced dating beginnings, a lot of heat is generated and, you know, there's a lot of desire for each other. How are the ways that they then cope with either indefinitely delaying getting together physically or finding ways to try and do it more safely?
Well, first, just on the sexual aspects, a national survey called Singles in America of 5,000 American singles found that the majority of singles right now are not having sex, over 70%. For those who do meet somebody and want to have a relationship, I think they're just going through the stages slowly, much more slowly. That's what the research tells us, and just more cautiously. It feels very Victorian to me, like a little bit like courtship, but like cyberpunk.
But without the parents on the Zoom meeting, right?
Right, the parents aren't there. The parents aren't there. But, you know, of course, some people eventually do get together. And, of course, there are hookups are 20% down in OkCupid. But, of course, people, I'm sure, are still doing this. The research on that shows that the people who are doing hookups have a higher risk of coronavirus, actually, not surprisingly.
Yeah. Well, because you assume if they're taking that risk, there are probably other risks. So it may not even be in the hookup that they expose, but in, you know, myriad other things they're doing in their lives as well.
Right. And again, this is not the majority of singles right now. The majority of singles are being very careful and cautious.
Let's talk with Kelly in Koreatown. Kelly, how has your dating changed during this era of the pandemic?
It's been really positive for me, Larry, because of the risk. I ended up being a lot more discerning and a lot more honest about what I wanted and what I was looking for. And I used online dating, the Facebook dating app, because I don't like downloading date apps. And when I did meet guys, we went on social distance walks with masks. And so everything was pretty pared down and simple. And I opted to not do like Zoom or anything because I hate that. So I always encourage conversations on the phone, like old school. And I've had a really positive dating experience. I've actually met someone in that process.
That's great. And do you think that this is going to change how you will date if you're single post-pandemic, that this will have a lasting effect on how you decide to go about this?
Yes, you know, it was really empowering because, like, again, like the risk, I wasn't holding back about what I wanted, and I don't think that I can do that anymore. And I'm grateful in a weird way for COVID for giving me the strength to speak out about what I wanted. But because, like, you can't really date casually during COVID, I've had to be more clear with my intentions and what I wanted and only hang out with people who are in alignment with that. And so I do hope to stick with that post-COVID if I am still dating.
Yeah, and it sounds like it's been a bit of self-discovery for you as well, kind of owning these things that are important to you and articulating that early on as you're meeting people. Is that a fair assessment?
Oh, exactly. Absolutely. I'm a single woman and I've been living alone for a large part of my time in LA. And so like I have to take care of me. And it just, yeah, like the stakes are higher and it's been a great, at first on COVID, it was pretty hard for me, but it's been like a great transformation for me, actually.
That's great. And Kelly, you said you met someone, and was there a lot of negotiation with this person that you're involved with now over the physical, you know, safety issue and not potentially exposing yourself or the other person?
Yeah, you know, whenever I met someone, I tried to, you know, someone could lie, but I will always ask, like, what their routine was during quarantine, if they were quarantining, if they live with anyone, and just their attitude. So I had to make sure that we were in alignment in that way as well, because I do quarantine, I do wear a mask when I'm out in public, and I wasn't interested in meeting anyone in the first place, including this guy, if he was kind of willy-nilly with his health. So, yeah.
Kelly, thanks so much. Great to have you start off our conversation. That's Kelly in Koreatown. We're at 866-893-KPECC. If you're single and you're dating during the pandemic, what sorts of changes has that brought to your dating life? For Kelly, they're pretty significant, and she likes what's come from what seemed to be limitations at first, but have benefited her in her dating process. I'd like to hear the good, the bad, or just different in your dating life since the start of the pandemic. 866-893-KPECC. We'll be back in 1 minute. So good to have you with us on Air Talk. I'm Larry Mantle. Dating in the era of COVID-19, how it's changed for you. We're at 866-893-KPECC or the Air Talk page, kpecc.org. I'm joined by social psychologist Sarah Conrath, author of the Atlantic piece, What the Pandemic Has Done for Dating. She's also a scientific advisor at OkCupid. Sarah Conrath, great call that we just had from our listener describing some of the positive things she's had. Is this something that you're commonly hearing?
This is exactly what I'm hearing. In fact, when Kelly said that she was being more honest and intentional in her dating, she was speaking like a lot of singles. 69% said in this national survey said that they are more honest with their potential partners, and 58% are saying that they're more intentional now.
And why do you think there is that change? Is it something that could potentially stick post-pandemic?
Well, it sounds like for Kelly it will stick, but I think a lot of it also has to do with the situation that we are less busy than we used to be. A lot of 28% of Americans live alone. So they have a lot more time on their hands. And there's all these things going on in the world that have made people start really reflecting about their life and what they're looking for in life. So it's a special time. It's such a difficult time for everyone, but it's also a time that we can reflect on what's important and make changes in our life.
One of the things I thought was fascinating in the survey results is how, for many people, they're willing to date people who don't live anywhere near close enough to them to do in-person dating, just because they're willing to meet new people and, video conference with them on dates, even though they may live 1,000 miles away. I can't imagine that's going to, last post-pandemic.
Well, I think people are being more open in general. So not only open to different locations, but they're more open to people from other religions and people from other racial groups right now, more open than OkCupid has ever seen.
What they're not so open to, it seems, is dating someone with different politics.
Yes. Well, historically, we are now at the highest levels of political polarization that we've been able to measure. So a Republican, on average, has very, very different attitudes than a Democrat, on average, at the moment. So I think that just presents some natural points of conflict. It doesn't mean it can't be overcome or you can't just use good communication to figure it out. But I think that it's been a toxic year when it comes to the politics.
Bria on the Air Talk Facebook page writes, I met my now boyfriend during quarantine through an app. We messaged, then FaceTimed, then did a socially distant date. We've had to be very upfront about everything from the beginning, from what we want in a relationship to what our COVID preferences are. We actually preferred this approach. It forced us to talk and really get to know each other in the very beginning of our relationship. Bria, thank you so much. Bo tweets at AirTalk, a guy friend in L.A. had a socially distanced cooking date via Zoom cancel on him at the last minute because she had to attend a Zoom wedding. I couldn't stop laughing when he said it and felt really awful about it. But that excuse was like the old, I need to wash my hair. I don't know, Bo, that may have been legit because it does seem like, some of these Zoom things come together so quickly. Maybe they were planning to do this wedding, with just a handful of close family members and then decided they were going to video stream it. You don't necessarily know. 866-893-KPECC, 866-893-5722, or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. What are the ways that the pandemic has changed your dating life if you're single? And for the better or for the worse, have you actually found a relationship out of this? I'd be very interested in hearing from you what your experiences are. 866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. Sarah, do we know to what extent people are taking precautions before meeting in person? For example, are people going so far as to quarantine themselves before they meet a significant other? I actually know a woman who did just that. She quarantined herself, I think it was 10 days before meeting the woman that she had been, started dating from a distance before they ever met up in person. And the woman who's now her girlfriend, did the same thing. Do we know what percentage of people go to those lengths for safety?
Well, we don't know that extreme, but we do know just in terms of mask wearing that the majority of daters are saying that they would only feel comfortable meeting a new person if they're wearing a mask. So at least that's something.
Which inhibits kissing, though, and that would make it very hard to kiss.
I've heard stories of, like, for example, taking a COVID test first just to make sure.
Yeah. All right.
There are ways we can do that. Protect each other.
866-893-KPECC or the AirTalk page, kpecc.org. I don't know whether you can comment on this because it's a competing app to the one that you work for, but Tinder, I was just curious because I know people, meet people they marry on Tinder, that it has a broad range of how people meet. But one of the things that it offers, including Matt D'Angelo and Tony, our producer, one of the things it offers is for those who do want to do the quick hookup, they can do that. Is there any sense that Tinder is getting less traffic now?
I don't think they are getting less traffic. Most dating apps that I'm aware of are getting more traffic. And Tinder is an interesting one. I can comment on it. I'm actually a scientist, so I do know the science of dating. And what the science says about Tinder is that there's a stereotype that they're a hookup app, but when you actually measure why people choose to go on Tinder, about half of them are choosing to go for hookups and the other half are choosing to go on for relationships. So they're not necessarily a hookup app.
All right. So, Matt, you're in the healthy numbers of people there that are using it as a full dating and matchmaking app. Sarah Conrad, thank you so much for joining us and talking about your piece in The Atlantic, What the Pandemic Has Done for Dating. We appreciate it.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
By social psychologist and scientific advisor at OkCupid. She studies empathy, by the way, obviously an essential part of dating at all times. Stay tuned. Coming up next, it's Fresh Air, and look at the lengths to which the Chinese government goes to try and control even the mundane behavior of its residents. And then, of course, at 1 o'clock, it's All Things Considered, the first NPR feed of the afternoon with Austin Cross and the KPCC Newsroom, providing the very latest on what's happening with overloaded Southern California hospitals. NPR also with the latest on the Georgia senatorial runoff elections, all coming up. Have a great afternoon.